It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Bennett.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. A very busy opening weekend of NFL football. It's something everybody always looks forward to every year. It's a lot of fun, and Lance, good morning. How was your weekend, sir?
Well, it was busy watching football, as I'm sure as yours was as well.
Yep.
And a lot of exciting matchups, some intriguing storylines already coming out of the NFC East, as RG3 looked like he was a seasoned veteran already.
14-16 for 220 yards at halftime. That's pretty darn good.
Whereas the Eagles look like they're picking up where they left off last season.
Yeah.
Not on that four-win run, but prior to that, when they were plagued by turnovers and a lot of bad decisions on both sides of the field.
Four picks for Michael Vick.
And he nearly did not pull off that winning drive. He had an interception on the very pass right before that touchdown that put him ahead.
LeSean McCoy with a fumble that was lost. The Browns couldn't do anything on offense, though, and that's what happens when you start a rookie quarterback. It's to be expected. It's not much of a surprise. But, you know, Lance, there's just, you know, some things here that teams will have to work out as the year goes along. Trent Richardson didn't have a big game in his rookie appearance for them. Of course, that speaks some to the fact the Eagles have probably improved their rush defense a bit here, which is a good sign for them. That's something they've kind of struggled with throughout last season.
That was a major flaw for them last season. The middle of the field was wide open. The linebackers specifically had trouble just containing the run and keeping them in games early. So, you know, that is certainly a sign in which they've improved. But, you know, it's still very early. I don't think the play calling suited the team quite well yesterday.
I got to be honest,
Vick
I did not
56 times.
I did not watch much of the Eagles Browns game. I have to admit it.
Well, I mean, I didn't see much of it either. I mean, I saw flashes and highlights, but you know, just looking at the play breakdown,
right,
if your quarterback's throwing four picks, it's surprising as to why you keep throwing it through the air, especially when your running back has over 110 yards.
That's fair. That's fair. LeSean McCoy did have a pretty good game, and you're surprised then if a guy like McCoy comes out and, you know, has that sort of success, why not stick with the run a little bit more? But look, you know how the Eagles operate. You know Andy Reid operates, and that's, you know, pretty much what happened. Anyway, about as bad as a weekend you can get if you're a Giant fan. First, of course, you start with the Cowboys being the Giants last Wednesday night. Then you have to deal with the fact that the Redskins win, Eagles win, Jets win. Not exactly something you want to be excited about if you're a Giant fan, not liking what you see over the weekend.
Yeah, all the rivals came up big. And the Jets specifically were probably one of the biggest surprises to come out of this weekend. You know, for a team that only scored one touchdown in the preseason, it was only Greg McElroy that orchestrated that drive, and they really came out and made a statement to the Buffalo Bills. I'm still undecided, though, John. Are the Jets that good, or are the Bills just that bad? That's my big question mark today that I'm still trying to digest.
Because that's a good question.
The Jets' offense, not to take anything away from them, but I thought the Bills' defense had vastly improved in the offseason with some of their additions. And boy,
not really.
That was a stunker.
Yeah, what's a stunker?
Well, it may be a new word that we're going to add to the mix because that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 42-7 the final score, whatever it was? I mean, boy. Whew. And, you know, it's funny. You're right. You would have thought the Bills would have put up a bit of a better fight considering, you know, how they did last year. We found that Fitzpatrick played much of the year with that bad shoulder injury. And, boy, the Jets just took it to him offensively, defensively. Fitzpatrick threw some passes that were just mind-boggling right at Jet defenders. And, really, it was terribly played game by the Buffalo Bills.
Well, if there's one trend we continually see play out in the NFL, it's that turnovers kill you. You know, you shoot yourself in your foot. And that's basically what happened to all the teams that primarily lost yesterday or were in a position to win and then coughed up the football late. You know, Tom Coughlin preaches that. You got to protect the football. And it goes back to, you know, the David Wilson play the other night with the Cowboys. A lot of people were wondering, why didn't Wilson get more playing time after? You can't afford to cough up the football, because you do that, you give gifts, you give opportunities to the opposition, and if they take advantage of it, that's very well the difference between a win and a loss. And you saw a lot of quarterbacks and even some key running backs make, you know, some questionable decisions in terms of failing to protect the football, and as a result, other teams certainly took advantage of that, and that's why they have wins this week, and other teams have losses. And one of the teams that does have a win, John, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that are going to be coming to town on Sunday as they took care of business against Cam Newton and company.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. We're taking your calls this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. We're also taking your questions on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. So feel free to give us a call, and we'll talk some Giants football as they get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Bucks in week number two. So that'll be interesting to see exactly how that goes for the Giants. The Bucks played a pretty good game yesterday. Josh Freeman looked like he's rebounding from a poor sophomore season. So, Lance, I think that'll be a pretty interesting week two matchup, and maybe not quite as easy as some Giant fans might have thought before the season started.
And they also got good production from their rookie running back, who was taken right before the Giants pick, Doug Martin, out of Boise State, who carried the ball 21 times.
He's a workhorse, that guy.
Yeah, tallied up over 90 yards. So that is a guy that certainly provides a security blanket for Freeman, who, as you mentioned, is trying to regroup after a dismal performance last season when he really turned the ball over constantly week in and week out. And, you know, they added some weapons to surround him with, Vincent Jackson, Dallas Clark, and the defense, I think, is probably the biggest surprise for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, John. This is a defense that gave up nearly 500 yards each and every game, and to go out there, yes, Cam Newton threw for 300 yards, but he only ran for 10.
And two picks.
So that is the big accomplishment, to contain a guy that ran over them two times last season and to force them into becoming a one-dimensional offense. You know, that is something that the Giants are going to have to keep close tabs on. This Tampa Bay defense, you know, is maybe not as overrated as people think, despite the fact that they brought in some young talent.
Six rushes, minus 1 yard for D'Angelo Williams in that game. A great job by Tampa Bay slowing them down. All right, 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phone. Say hello to Ed in Maryland. Ed, good morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, Ed. Well, Ed, what's up, pal?
My main concern, I was talking about this over this weekend with my Giants buddy, and I know this is Coughlin's main concern, or one of the Giants' main problems coming into this year, and that was to start off early and not count on Eli to bring this back late. And I was, and going into the first game of the season, I was just kind of wondering what they were actually going to do to fix that. I know they were talking about it, but what they were actually going to do. And come out week one, they actually had to count on Eli to bring us back again, down 14 points in the fourth quarter. I was upset that we only had 10 points going into the fourth quarter. But my question is, being that you see other lesser quarterbacks than Eli Manning, such as Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, even younger quarterbacks like Matt Stafford, their coordinator lets them open up the offense and go no huddle. If we really want to get out to a faster start, why do we wait till we get down 14 points to want to go no huddle? And every time we watch Eli go no huddle, he always brings the Giants down the field and get points.
But you understand.
Is there any way possible Coughlin can actually do that in the first quarter before we get down, instead of waiting until we lose to try to come back in again?
Well, Ed, what's the common denominator when the Giants go no huddle? What type of defense generally are defenses playing when the Giants go no huddle?
Well, they're actually, to me, they're still playing a base defense, because if you're down 14 points in the third or fourth quarter with about 12 minutes left, you have plenty of time to even go with your base offense. But it's like in the first game, we seen that the game was getting out of hand, so then we started opening up.
Nah, see,
and I know we've seen this from Eli since he's in the second year in the league. Every time he goes 2 minute drill, Giants march right down the field and get points. And my only thing, Coughlin, you know, he's a great coach, but I just think sometimes Eli has proven he's a great quarterback, and I think Coughlin and Gilbert hold him back by sticking to the basics, ground and pound, and when we're running the ball, sometimes.
Ed?
I think we may have lost Ed. Oh, you still there, Ed?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, I'm just saying, sometimes if you open up and pass the ball, that'll set up to run better. But if we're coming out and the steps that we come in is so obvious. I even heard Mike Mayock said it during a preseason game playing the Patriots. And he said, Giants' problem is that we always come out and the offense looks like it's in a run set. And then the Giants want to be physical and pound the ball, but we don't have 6'6", 350-pound linemen. We have guys, you know, that's much smaller than that. So we can't just line up and knock guys off the ball to run the ball. So sometimes you have to set up the pad to run the ball. And I'm just thinking it's worth the shot. I mean, just a couple games this season, let Eli come out, start off the game first quarter, no huddle, and see how it works. Because I'm just tired of seeing us struggle to move the ball, going three and out, losing yards on first down, and then we always count on Eli third and long to bail us out, and then he does it. So I'm like, why not just try this out in the first and second quarter and see how it goes? We have to wait till we start losing until we try how to, figure out how to score.
Well, Ed, real quick, and what I'll say, look, if you want to pass to set up the run, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Clearly this team is going to have trouble being a ground-and-pound team. They couldn't do it last year, and at least in the first game this year, and again, it's too early to make a judgment for the whole season. I agree, you know, passing the setup to run might not be a bad idea, but I think to a certain extent they do that already. Number two, here's my issue with the no huddle argument, and I've heard Giant fans make it a lot before. Most of the time, when the Giants, rather, go into no huddle at the end of these games, and the Cowboys is a good example. When the Cowboys are up 14 in the fourth quarter, they weren't necessarily trying to stop the Giants to score. They were trying to make the Giants take as much time as humanly possible to score the ball. So they were allowing a lot of easy underneath patterns and you know, things of that nature. So in my opinion, the reason the huddle is so successful is because teams are playing different types of defense than they would play in the first, second, even third quarter when the game's, you know, either tied or the Giants are up or whatever the case might be.
Well, the other benefit to the no-huddle offense is it could slow down the pass rush. But you need to pick your poison as to when to do that. And listen, I understand the point that Ed is making. But, Ed, you also have to remember, the Giants, to me, did not struggle early in the Cowboys game. They shot themselves in the foot. Remember, Victor Cruz drops the ball on third down on that first drive. They weren't failing to move the ball. That's basically, you know, coughing up the football, essentially, by your own, you know, issues and woes that you have on offense, and then David Wilson fumbles the ball on another good drive. So I don't necessarily think you need to throw in the no huddle offense because the Giants are failing on offense overall. It doesn't hurt, though, to work it in at times. That I buy. That
I buy
argument
that.
I see.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying, I mean, that's your quarterback's probably his greatest strength. I mean, if there's anything, he's probably better at than any other quarterback in the whole league is a two-minute drill. So I'm just saying, just to get the offense, you know, sparked up, just to get us going, you know, just so we don't have some drops, just so guys can start sweating early. 2 minute drill will get guys down the field, get them going, and then maybe the second or third drive, maybe go back to like the basic offense, but just to get us going. Because what I want to see is more on our first and second drive getting points. But it really kills me on our first drive when we go straight now, just a bad pass or just a missed block or blown assignment. But if everybody's on their toes on a 2 minute drill, it gets everybody started. And to me, to not use it just doesn't make sense because that's obviously Eli's greatest strength. So Coughlin, I'm trying to urge everybody to just get Coughlin to just, you know, try it one time, just see how it works. If it doesn't work out, then we don't use it anymore.
All right, I appreciate the call, man. And, you know, he makes some good points. Yeah. And, you know, the new huddle is becoming a lot more vogue in the NFL now. You see the Saints do it with Breeze. It's going to be a big part of the Falcons' offense with Matt Ryan, like you mentioned. You saw Peyton Manning unveil that, kind of what he did in Indianapolis. He's doing that in Denver now with the no huddle. Aaron Rodgers, of course. The Packers were going to run the no huddle almost exclusively this year. You didn't see it quite as much against San Francisco in week one, but they will run a lot of no huddle this year. And look, the Giants' biggest strength and their greatest strength right now is their passing game and Eli Manning. And you want to give them the best opportunity to be successful. And if you get to the point where you're like, you know what, you want to try to run a little no huddle here or there, I think you can. But remember, you want to keep the defense fresh too. You don't want those pass rushers getting tired. You want to make sure they have enough time on the bench to rest while the offense is on the field. And you want to stay balanced. A lot of times when teams go no huddle, they have the tendency to give up on the run too. And despite the fact you struggled in week one, Tom Coughlin's goal here, guys, is still to be a balanced offense. You want to run it. You want to pass it. So you want to do both. So that'll be something the Giants definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did we see last season, John, where Manning threw the ball anywhere from 45 to 50 times? Yeah. And yes, sometimes they won those football games, but it's not necessarily a recipe for success consistently. So they need to dedicate themselves to getting that running game going, even in games that it's not necessarily blowing the holes open for the respective running back. So, you know, I would like to see the Giants get as balanced as possible. And I have no problem with what Ed brought up, you know, to work in the no huddle at times and even to start a game off with it doesn't hurt to at least try to catch the opposition off guard, because I think most teams that the Giants play don't expect them to come out right from the start with the no huddle. So that's not a problem, but I wouldn't call for the Giants going no huddle exclusively.
If you want to mix it in, that's fine, though. I'm with you.
Because you need to work in that running game. And like you said, you know, if there's going to be some long drives that the defense is on the field, for example, Wednesday, Cowboys put together an 8-play, 80-yard drive, you got to give your defense some breathers. If you go no huddle and go down the field in 2 minutes, you're throwing your defense back out there.
And not to generalize here, but, you know, the Saints with their no huddle offense on offense, their defense is pretty brutal. I mean, so what a rookie quarterback did to them yesterday, throwing the Packers. I mean, they let the 49ers put a 30 spot on them. 49ers aren't exactly the Montana Rice Niners in the 80s here with their high-powered offense.
And here's another thing that I want to throw out, and it's not necessarily an excuse as to not put in the no-huddle offense, but, you know, how many times have we seen the Giants sometimes get some false start penalties, delay of games? That, you know, they got to work out some of their communication issues, getting personnel in and out of the field.
Well, maybe getting a little bit better of a tempo might help the delay of game and getting out of the huddle quicker, though, too, and that can't hurt.
But when you're no-huddle, though, guys have to be ready.
That's true,
for
too.
Quick substitutions. Agreed. And especially with you have some young guys on offense, when their number's called, they can't hesitate to get on the field.
All right, back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Milo down in Florida. What's up, Milo?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, Milo. What's up, pal?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, I don't think it was – I'm not to criticize Tom Coughlin because I love the guy, but, you know, I think that Wilson – that was too much of a short leash on Wilson and – you know, you need to give the guy a chance, you know, and then I think we shot ourselves in the foot there by just benching him after he fumbled the ball.
You know, Milo,
the guy
has
the potential to be a great back.
Yeah, you're right to a certain extent, but I think there's a balance there too, because you want to, especially with a rookie, you want to make it abundantly clear to him early on in his career and in his rookie season that you could be the best runner in the world. If you're going to fumble the ball, you're not going to see the field. Now, clearly, considering how upset David Wilson was afterwards, he knew that already. He cared. That was on his list of goals this year, to not fumble the football. So I think he knew that. But I understand what Coach Coughlin was doing in making a point to the rookie running back that, above all else, ball security is the most important thing. And I don't think it's going to bury David Wilson for the long term. I think you'll see him back in there as that number 1B back for the Giants in week number 2.
Now, I'm not trying to defend him, but I've seen many games before that was a direct helmet hit on the ball. I don't see many other backs. I mean, I've seen that play many times, and no matter who it is, that ball's coming out, you know. And another thing, what about the other backs? We could have used them a little more. And why can't we use a jumbo package like San Francisco does? You know, put in an extra offensive lineman there and bowl our way, into the running game.
Oh, tried that. They tried that. Didn't work too well.
Plus, you got some guys banged up on the offensive line. You don't necessarily have tremendous amount of depth to toy and play with. I mean, using two double tight end formations, that may not hurt. But at the end of the day, you know, I agree with what John said. Tom Coughlin was sending a message to the rookie. And you can maybe point to the fact that, yes, had the Giants had two different style running backs out there, it maybe could have sparked the offense. I'm not going to argue that.
Or Wilson breaks a big play with his explosiveness. Who knows?
Absolutely. But the Giants are looking at the season as a whole. They're not just looking at it for one game. They needed to make a point to David Wilson so that he knows that he must protect the football and he must protect Eli Manning at all times. And you hope that he got the message, mm-hmm. and now he's mentally stronger moving forward.
Well, and I'll quote Tom Coughlin in his post-game press conference. Look, folks, this is very serious business here. It's the first game of the season, I get that, but it's a division game. It's a game against a rival. It's a home game. It's your home opener. This is not a game you want to mess around in. This loss, as Michael Eisen put it to me the other day, we have a nice conversation, he goes, this loss has ramifications that we cannot judge today because we don't know who the Giants are going to have a tiebreaker situation with late in the year, who they're going to be battling for first place with late in the year. We don't know the answers to any of these questions. So we don't know how important this game is, but it could be critical. So coach has to try to win it, and if he doesn't think David Wilson's right, A, because he fumbles and he's not securing the ball properly, or worse, that maybe he's mentally screwed up a little bit because of the fumble, then He did the right thing. So there's really no way to tell. And again, he'll be back out on the field in week number two.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Giants fans are also probably looking at what Tampa Bay did yesterday. Their rookie running back gets 24 carries, but it's a different situation.
Oh, yeah.
I know they have LeGarrette Blount.
The Bucs are rebuilding here. They're building up to something. They're not trying to make a Super Bowl run this year.
And at the end of the day, Martin protected the football. So why does Greg Schiano have any reason to toy with his lineup and his depth chart?
And speaking of which, Freeman was only 16 of 24 for 160 yards yesterday. Not exactly a great game, but he didn't throw any picks.
Well, he was a game manager, though.
Exactly.
You know, they tried to pound the football.
All right. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the little man. Vinny in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Oh, is that Vinny? Vince, what's up, pal?
Yeah.
Hey, Vince.
How are you?
Well, what's going on, pal?
In the beginning of the end of last year and the beginning of this year before training camp, maybe in OTAs, they had a guy, Antoine Molden, at cornerback. And he had a couple years' experience, and they cut him.
Yep.
And Terrell Thomas went out with his injury, as he did last year. And Mukhtar had the high ankle sprain, as he did last year.
Yep.
And then I think we cut Bruce Johnson. I'm not sure, but we ended up with Tryon Michael Coe, who really I don't know if he reminds me of Aaron Ross, but Aaron Ross used to make me mad, and I knew Michael Coe was going to make me mad. He went down. I had a little faith in trying. Either way, they knew the problem was going to come up with the cornerbacks, and we spent a lot on the defensive line. But why didn't we get anybody to fill in that in case anything happened? And even when we knew Terrell Thomas went out on IR.
Well, you know, I'll say this about Molden first. The reason they cut Molden, and by the way, he was in the first group of cuts, not the second group. So that should tell you all you need to know about how he played in training camp, which was not very well. It was his first group of cuts, Molden, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he was gone when they cut down to, you know, the first group after the third preseason game. So he did not play well in camp. And quite frankly, I mean, look at the Patriots defense last year where he was a starter. They were terrible. They're one of the worst passing defenses in the league. So, Antoine Molden, they didn't really lose anything with him.
And he also had some nagging injuries, too.
He did. And number two, anybody they pick up off the scrap heap at this point is going to be pretty much equal to the talent level of the guys they have, whether it's Michael Coe or Justin Tryon. So, would you rather bring in a guy off the scrap heap that has the same talent level and doesn't know the system and doesn't know the defense and doesn't know the coaches? Or would you rather stick with the guys that you have and let them play and do what they do? Now, Michael Coe's injury, that's unfortunate, sure, but there's really no way to predict that. And Justin Tryon got thrown into the deep end of the pool here. Let's see how he does with a week full of practice as the team's starting cornerback, if Prince and Coe can't go this week, which is still up in the air. I'd say it's 50-50 at best.
All right, well, appreciate the phone
Thanks,
call.
Vince. Appreciate it, man.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on Twitter.
That's right.
Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll certainly be keeping close tabs on our tweets throughout the show. So if you can't get on through the phones, feel free to send John or myself a message through the Twitter world, and we'll try to read those comments throughout the show here on Big Blue Kickoff.
Well, we got a little, everyone, the question that our good friend Nile posed to our friends on Twitter is what unit needs the most help coming up in week number two against the Bucs, or needs to improve the most, excuse me, off their week one performance against the Cowboys. And that looks like everyone seems to think it's the secondary. I got one running back's comment here, but everyone else seems to be really the secondary. I'm not liking the fact that Tony Romo is able to basically march up and down the field, especially in the second half. And that's what I would be concerned about, is that once the Cowboys got a decent look at the Giants' defense for a half in the second half, I mean, the Giants really had absolutely no answer for them.
It was completely two different offenses. I mean, the Cowboys came out slow. They were not, you know, all of a sudden running in full motion from the start.
Romo looked jitterish. He was kind of dancing in the pocket a little bit.
But the key thing to remember, John, the Cowboys started to flourish in their passing game once DeMarco Murray got going. So I would
say,
previewing, looking ahead against the Bucs, since they obviously look at Doug Martin as their workhorse, if you limit his opportunities and his holes, then you're not going to create many opportunities for Josh Freeman. Now, Josh Freeman and Tony Romo are two different style quarterbacks, but that doesn't mean that Freeman can't take advantage if all of a sudden things start to open up because of the running game. So if you keep Martin contained and you don't allow the big plays, which were evident Wednesday night, then they should help out the secondary in making plays and containing Josh Freeman. But if the opposite happens, you know, Freeman certainly is not going to hold back. He's got weapons. You know, this Tampa Bay offense doesn't necessarily jump off the page.
Right.
But Dallas Clark, Vincent Jackson, these guys are veterans. It's not as if they're rookies. So, you know, you give them opportunities, you give them some space, they will certainly take advantage of that.
201-939-4513. Our buddy Len's down in Maryland. What's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Just one more opportunity to express my disappointment and frustration on the loss to the Cowboys. But, you know, and I'll try to make this real short. You know, paralysis through analysis. The bottom line is, you know, and I liked your use of words before when you said, when you asked the question, what group needed, we think needed more help? And then you corrected yourself and you said, which unit needs to play better? And that's where I'm coming from this morning.
Right.
Our stars need to play better. I mean, they just didn't play well the other night. Now, we can analyze this and do formations and play calling left and right. I don't care what the strategy is, offensively and defensively. Just execute the strategy and play better.
Yeah, Len, I'm with you.
I mean, you know, you look at that defensive backfield. I mean, that was just a bad performance. And was a bad performance from the better players.
Yeah.
I mean, in my humble opinion, Michael Coe was probably the best defensive back on the field the other night.
You can make
the
argument.
Michael Coe.
Yeah.
Michael Coe. Nothing personal about Michael Coe. But I mean, let me say it again. Michael Coe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Michael Coe. I mean, you know, and he did a heck of a job until he got nicked up. I thought he played, you know, I thought the guy played hard. But,
yeah.
I mean, we're paying C-Webb and Antrell. You've heard me come from this position before. Antro Roll and you know, Kenny Phillips and again, Siwa. I mean, we're paying these guys big money to perform. I mean, come on. Forget the strategy. Whatever the strategy is, let the coaches take care of that. Guys, execute. Stars, play better. And everything will take care of itself. That was not a good performance the other night. All right. Hey, I'm going to start looking forward to Tampa Bay.
Nice.
You guys got a great show up. You know, always look forward to listening to it. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. You too,
it. Man.
Right, he's right.
Len's all over it, man. Len's always – I like Len because he takes a measured look at everything. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. And he's right. Think about it. I mean, your first-round draft pick fumbles. Corey Webster is getting burnt by Kevin Ogletree.
Victor Cruz drop passes.
Andre Roll's taking bad angles on Miles Austin plays. Frankly, OC and Tuck were virtually invisible over the course of the game. JPP, I thought, played extremely well. Victor Cruz was dropping passes. Hakeem Nicks doesn't look like himself with the foot. These are the guys you expect to play well, and they didn't even play well. So I think Len makes some good points. You can nitpick red zone plays and not having tall guys in the game or no huddle. This guy's got to make plays. He's got to play better.
Yeah, see, you know, watching Wednesday's game, to me, I didn't take away the fact that the Giants struggled strategically. What they struggled is, in what Len said, execution.
Yep.
The guys didn't make plays when they needed it the most. You know, you go back to the David Wilson fumble. Look back at that drive. The Giants would have at least walked away with 3 points on that.
Oh, yeah?
Who knows how momentum changes in a situation like that. Victor Cruz grabs a third down, executes. The chains move. It builds rhythm on offense. That's not play calling. That's not guys out of position. It's just a matter of when your number's called, bail out Eli Manning, make a play, yep, and keep the offense on the field. That didn't happen on Wednesday.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike down in Houston, Texas. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good morning, pal. How are you?
Great. Well, I've been a Giants fan since 1956.
Nice.
The Philco TV, black and white, with Chris Schenkel. And the only team in the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I jumped in to watch that game Wednesday night. Came away like everybody else, upset. And, you know, looking back over 5 or 6 decades of Giants playing ball, especially in the last 20 years, they either show up or they don't. And I'm just really disappointed with their approach to this game. You know, you've got people there that are supposed to be, as we've heard, you know, paying the big bucks and everything. The bottom line is, you know, it's why? You know, there's just really no excuse for a professional out of a Super Bowl champion coming into the first game of the season in their own stadium and coming out not able to execute. I don't know. You know, Tom Coughlin said they had a couple of days of practices that weren't good. I just can't get over this team being emotionally labile. 1 week they're up, and 1 week they really, you know, it's kind of like, you know, pass the boot.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's funny. You know, Mike, and it's not like I don't think – they came in and didn't try. I don't think it was a lack of effort, but there was a lack of sharpness for whatever that's worth. And I think that's why the team said they had a quote-unquote wake-up call, which still drives me nuts. And Coach Coughlin said they got served a slice of humble pie, which to me is a little bit more understandable than the whole wake-up call thing. But you're right. The team didn't come out. They didn't look – I hate using the expression, but they didn't look like they were ready to play their A game. Not that they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared by the coaches. They just didn't look sharp and on top of their game to me.
And I don't
Exactly. I don't know if that had anything to do with preseason, however other teams do. I think it comes down to a team being ready together. You know, you got to be mentally ready. And then, you know, mentally ready, you got to be able to execute. And from that execution comes your sharpness. And it's just baffling as to why – that these kinds of things happen. I mean, yeah, I know they're human, and humans do fail and do things. But, geez, a Cowboy on the first game of the year, they came out and they just didn't look good. And it's just, just disappointing. And I live here in Houston. Thank God I don't live in Dallas anymore. that would have been hell, excuse me. But anyway, I just wanted to express my disappointment. It didn't surprise me that they came out that way because I have been following the Giants for since 56 or 57, and it just didn't surprise me, but it was upsetting nonetheless.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the phone call.
Call back anytime, man. He makes good points.
Yeah, and once again, he hit on what Len said. You know, it's about execution, and it's disappointing that, you go through weeks of training camp, and, Tom Coughlin was preaching the message, build the bridge. You know, it wasn't as if they came with, a big chip on their shoulder, we're champions, and it's going to be a breeze this season. I don't think that was evident around training camp at all,
or even here at the facility. They didn't seem cocky. They were very businesslike and professional, which is why I was surprised.
There was signs, though, of some offensive struggles in that last preseason game.
That's true.
So you can maybe say, hey, that contributed somewhat. They carried over those offensive woes to the game against the Cowboys.
And, of course, injuries. Look, they had a lot of injuries again in the secondary, whether it was, Terrell Thomas and Prince first, then you have Michael Coe going down. Look, teams are only going to be so deep in the NFL, and you get to your third and fourth, and in Michael Coe, Justin Tryon's case, the fifth-string cornerback on the team. Look, that's just the nature of the business. You could have Tom Landry is your defensive coordinator. It's not going to matter if you're playing your fifth-string corner.
And I buy that on defense, John, but what was most surprising about the game was they did have injuries on the offensive line, but those five guys had been playing together throughout the course of the preseason. I know Beattie was active, but he didn't start.
No, but
so that
right.
was a
you're
little
right.
surprising because despite the injuries on the O-line, they had plenty of time to work out the kinks and serve as one unit. And they didn't come through, and as a result, the running game struggled.
Yeah, I thought the pass protection was pretty decent, though. Not great, but I thought it was good enough to win the game. But you're right. They didn't get any push in the run, and the Giants, once again, could not run the ball. And frankly, against the Cowboys defense, that was missing their top nose tackle.
Yeah,
Jay Ratliff didn't even play.
But DeMarcus Ware makes up for two guys, essentially.
Well, he basically does. And I guess Josh Brent, I didn't watch the coach's tape, but I imagine he did a pretty decent job. And Jason Hatcher looks like he might be coming into his own. So we'll see. 201-939-4513. Our good buddy Tim in Jackson, New Jersey, has been waiting for a while. Tim, good morning. How are you, pal?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
What you got, Tim?
Will the Giants activate Chris Kennedy from the PUP list if he passes a physical?
Well, he will, but that's not going to happen until after week six. So that'll be a wait-and-see proposition, Tim. He seems to think that he'll be ready by then. He thought he was going to be ready even earlier than that, which is why he was disappointed he had to go on to PUP. But I would imagine Chris Canty will be back at that point. And considering how much DeMarco Murray, ran the ball and ran it well against the Giants on Wednesday, can't come back soon enough.
Yeah, Canty would certainly be a big boost to not just the overall defense, but the depth to the defensive line, specifically at the tackle spot. I would like to see the Giants maybe get a little bit more creative and move, Tuck to the inside. I know they've toyed with that at times.
But mostly in pass rush situations.
That may be something that they want to maybe utilize a little bit more often, given the injuries. But, there were other guys that I thought performed in the preseason that you're just a matter of waiting to maybe step up. I'm not saying Marcus Kuhn's going to be a quick fix, but he's a guy that at least they have some faith in, and the only way these guys are going to learn and continue to execute is they get out on the field. The one thing that Perryfield does a good job with, he mixes and matches. This is not going to be the season where JPP plays 100 snaps. As much as it pays to have JPP out there, that doesn't help the defense. it's going to get to the point where the wear and tear is going to really get to JPP. So you want to see them utilize everybody on this depth chart. Canty comes back, that just beefs up the depth chart even further. But, you know, Canty certainly is going to be a big bonus. The problem is you can't rely on him until at least midseason. So he's not going to be a savior overnight for this Giants team.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Dennis Davis writes in, this is exactly what you were pointing out before, Lance. He thinks the O-line needs to show the most improvement. If they improve, so does the running game, and then the play-action pass opens up. And that's something Eli Manning's always been very proficient at, the play-action pass. And you're right, if you can't run the ball, there's no reason for those linebackers and safeties and corners to commit to stopping the run when you can't do anything with it.
Well, I mean, you're not fooling anybody. You know, these guys who are veterans, they know the tricks of the trade. And the bottom line is, if the Giants are picking up a yard or two, that's not really going to scare anybody off or back the linebackers a little bit deeper into the coverage. Giants start running. They start picking up the yardage 3 or 4 yards at a time. All of a sudden, things start to open up in the passing game.
Now, our man Devin's still trying to get me riled up here, but I think he needs to start coming up with some new material. The height thing is starting to go by the wayside a little bit. You can't keep going back with the height. You got to mix it up a little bit here. So I want Devin to get a little more creative.
Another
we like Devin, don't get me wrong.
Okay. Now he changed it, though. This is a Martellus Bennett reference.
He's still talking about tall guys, though. Same neighborhood. Well, different zip code.
The big targets in the end zone. I know we've been talking.
Or maybe same zip code, different neighborhood is what I should have went with there.
That's fair. Whatever. Well, at least you corrected yourself.
Nah, I don't know.
We're making strides here on Monday morning.
All right, let's see. We got another more people say cornerbacks, the run game, which is great. They like to see, this is from AK, wants to see some more three safety packages instead of running out the three corners. And now with all these injuries, you might have to. Though, again, I think the Giants, and this wasn't the reason they lost, Hosley played well in that slot spot. You didn't really see the Cowboys go after that slot corner. I thought Hosley played pretty well in there on the inside line.
Yeah, the only thing that they had an issue with was the slants, which you can pretty much blame everybody on.
Yeah, but they came in from the outside, though. They generally didn't hit that slot guy on slants. Think about it. The couple, the Ogletree and the one, the Dez Bryant, they were all lined up at either split end or flanker.
But can't you make the argument that maybe the nickel corner can cut off the route?
I mean, if you're playing a zone. I don't know if you're playing man or zone. I guess, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, listen, it's easy.
Now we're getting way too deep into this stuff. I mean, we need to have, like, playbooks and coaches tape here. Unless Paul Dottino's here. I don't think we're going to get into any of that stuff.
No, I think I'll pass on having Paul walk in here on a Monday morning. He hasn't done his 10-mile walk yet.
I saw it. He was out of position. 201-939-4513.
He's still breaking down Bucks film.
Yeah, I know. Still, you start on the Bucks film now. He's like, that Doug Martin, he can run. He reminds me of that Rodney Hampton back in the early 90s.
Tremendous pass protection for a rookie.
201-939-4513. Steve's up in Connecticut. What's up, Steve-O?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much, bro.
I watched the Washington and New Orleans game, and the Redskins looked pretty damn good. And not to mention, they beat us last year twice with a subpar team, and I think they're definitely not subpar this year. So, we got that to worry about. I was watching a Tampa Bay game as well, and they didn't look too bad against Carolina, which is another team, two teams we got to face. So what do you think about all of this, though? This is interesting here. I mean, should we just go off of this one game, or should we just, like, wait and see how it unfolds?
I think it's time to panic. I think the season's on the brink of disaster. I'm just kidding. Obviously, I'm joking. Look, it's one game. Relax. But – and me and Lance said this before the season started, and I'm just continuing with my theme here. The NFC East is the toughest division in football, which is why you can't afford to have quote-unquote wake-up call games like the Giants had in week number one, because you don't know at the end of the year how many teams are going to be 8-8, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, and one win in week one could be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So you're right. I think it's going to be really, 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 really tough this year with the Giants' schedule and the teams in the division.
You want to know how tough the NFC East is? The Eagles probably after one week are the worst team in the division. You compare that to other divisions.
Well, they won. The Giants lost. That's hard to say.
No, but what I'm saying, I mean, overall play.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, you're right. The Eagles did win, but they struggled.
I agree.
On both sides of the football.
They looked worse than the Giants did, in my opinion.
Exactly. So if that's the worst team in the division, that says a lot about the overall depth and difficulty of the division. So, you know, I would agree with John. You can't hit the panic button. You also can't just look at how a team performs over one game. I mean, who's to say maybe RG3 takes a step back in 2 or 3 weeks?
Oh,
we don't know.
Of course.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. The Saints defense is nothing to write home about. not to take anything away from his performance. He was tremendous
right.
in terms of running the football, throwing the football down the field, and they've added on the defensive side. They've added on the offensive side, so I think the Redskins are going to be one of the most improved teams probably. But, you know, you can only take so much away from one game. And, you know, Carolina had a rough performance overall because they shot themselves in the foot with respect to turnovers. If they execute, the Panthers could have easily won this game yesterday. Cam Newton drew them all the way down to the 3-yard line and then coughed the football up. So, you know, that just goes to show you, you know, you're a turnover or a two away from potentially turning an L into a W or a W into an L. And these are two teams that the Giants are going to see in back-to-back weeks, but two different style teams because Josh Freeman, to me, is not nearly as much of a threat on the ground as Cam Newton is. So they're going to be tested in terms of trying to slow down a rookie running back this week and contain some veteran weapons that Freeman can work with, whereas then the following week, they're going to have to look to really contain Cam Newton because he's the type of guy that can put an offense on his shoulders single-handedly and wreak havoc for a defense. So, you know, two different contrasting styles that they're going to see over the next couple of days.
Yeah, also, what you think about Michael Cole's performance? I mean, I think for him filling in, I think he did a pretty good job. And on the offensive side, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I wasn't sold on Dominic Hickson being the third receiver, but after the Dallas game, even in the losing effort, like, I seen effort from him out on the field, so I'm sold on him now.
Well, Hickson made some big plays. You know, it didn't help necessarily the Giants' offense overall because some of those drives stalled. But
he should have had a touchdown. I feel like I didn't overthrow him on that little skinny post.
So I don't necessarily have a problem with Hickson's performance.
I thought Cole was fine. We talked about it before,
Cole was very aggressive, and unfortunately he got hurt. If he stayed in the duration of the game, maybe things would have worked out a little bit differently for the Giants. It's just a matter of bad timing when he got that hamstring injury to act up. But Hickson overall is a guy that they're going to have to rely on, assuming he stays healthy. And we'll see some of Reuben Randle as the season progresses. It just, his number wasn't called. The opportunity did not present itself in this game. But Reuben Randle, David Wilson, these early round picks, you know, don't judge the Giants' calls and the strategy just by one game, because things are going to tend to balance out throughout the course of this season. I know a lot of Giants fans look at last year when Darrell Scott had a lot of promise and he didn't get into games, but these are two completely different plots and storylines, David Wilson versus Darrell Scott. Wilson is a guy, now that Brandon Jacobs is out of the picture, there's an opportunity for him to contribute. It's just a matter of him holding on to the football, learning from the message that he received in week one. They are going to work him in. Ahmad Bradshaw is not going to be the guy that's going to carry the ball 25 to 30 times. They just can't afford to put him in that position.
Well, he won't hold up, considering his injury history. So
Wilson's going to be a guy they're going to have to rely on. And Darrell Scott, even getting back to him, I know he was inactive, but he's certainly a player that they're going to look to turn to with respect to the special teams. And there were some flashes on special teams. That's a unit that haven't necessarily talked a little bit about, but that's going to be an area that you know the Giants wanted to improve looking back at last season. And I think that some of the returns that Wilson produced is something that he can look to at least build on.
I'll tell you what, if he's the kickoff returner, and Steve, thank you very much for the call. If he's the kickoff returner for the balance of the season, he will have a kickoff return for a touchdown. That's how explosive he is. He almost broke one against Dallas. I honestly believe that. So if you put him in that position, he'll make some big plays for you. 201-939-4513. Big Ed, down in Maryland. What's up, Big Ed?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good to hear from you, Big Ed. How are you, pal?
Oh, great. First of all, I just want to say I'm still walking around as if my championship ring fits well on the finger.
Nice.
As far as this season goes, wow, four games in 1 month, two of them in 4 days, that is a tough schedule.
Yep.
I don't care who you play.
True.
You play in the NFL for 60 minutes and you got to play within 4 days of a game, that's not easy. So next week we got our hands full. As far as the whole season, honestly, we can win it. We can win it all and go back and do it again. But it really is going to take everybody's effort to do it. I really wasn't too disappointed with the Dallas game, although we did lose it. Other than that, we looked great. We just have to go after them. We never didn't go after them. We only had not more than five deep balls. Only one went deep, and that was completed. The rest weren't. We have to go back down the field. We have to make teams afraid of us because Dallas was afraid of us. They knew what we had as weapons, but for whatever reason, we didn't use it. We sat on it. We watched. We waited to see what they did and then made a move. And next time we can't do that, especially against Dallas, because they're just too potent. They're so sneaky, especially with Tony Romo. So sneaky back there. You don't know if he's going to pull it up or if he's going to throw it deep. And you didn't know what was going to happen with them. So we will prepare better for them next time. My best question is, how do we deal with this fullback situation? How's the running game going to progress throughout the season if our key running backs keep getting hurt?
Well, Ed, you know, Henry Heinoski, to me, was probably the lone bright spot from the offensive line in the fullback position. I don't think there's really anything to be concerned about. Throughout the next couple of games, I'd look to see what Martellus Bennett can give them in terms of a lift in the blocking scheme. I know on Twitter they rave about his size and his body weight and everything. I think Bennett is a guy that could certainly give them a big boost with respect to the running game. The big concern right now is how will the offensive line perform moving forward? And not just in terms of opening the holes in the running game, Ed. You know, remember, pass protection is another key. And I know John said that he thought it was good, but there was some concerns because Manning took his fair share of hits. And a lot of that,
Rob Ryan does blitz a lot. He's going to get hit in a game like that. It happens.
Well, that's what I said. You have to tip your cap to the Cowboys. They've got talent there. There's nothing to take away from Dallas. But there's other teams now in terms of Tampa Bay and Carolina. The pass rush dips off a bit compared to what Dallas presents. So how is the line going to perform against these two units coming up?
That's right. That's the whole key. Oh, and say hi to Big Mike for me, too. I miss him. You guys are the best. I appreciate you so much for being here. Just remember, I picked it last year. I told you I did. I told you they was going to win it all. I knew they were going to win it all. And they sure enough showed it.
That's why you're Big Ed.
That's right. And I'm coming up soon. Can't wait. I'll be there very soon for my very first home game ever.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
That will be explosive.
Wait, which game is that going to be, Ed? Which game?
That's what I'm trying to work out now.
Oh, okay. So it's still in the planning phase.
Hopefully, right. So I'm looking at maybe Green Bay or the Saints or Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Three good choices. It's going to be a tough one no matter which one it is. We got a brutal schedule this year. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I keep looking at that schedule. I was like, this is brutal. Because if we can survive the Redskins and survive Pittsburgh and Dallas back to back to back, they better give us the playoffs.
All right, Ed, thanks a lot for the call, my friend.
Okay, boss. Check y'all later.
Take it easy. That's been Wassitor from Big Ed.
Yeah.
I don't know who Big Mike is.
No, we'll have to look into that.
Maybe Michael Eisen.
There we go.
Yeah, maybe Michael Eisen's Big Mike.
Everybody seems to be adopting the big phrase before their name.
I know it doesn't fit
call
me.
You Big Lance, I was just going to say that. No, you will not be hearing me referred to as Big Lance. That won't be coming to a Big Blue Kickoff show near you anytime soon. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. A little over 10 minutes left on the program. Feel free to give us a ring if you want to chat anything about the Giants as they're preparing now to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. Kickoff 1 o'clock as the team is now going to get back to its normal routine after it was thrown off a bit. A little out of whack last week with a Wednesday game. I can't remember the last time there was a Wednesday game, not just to start the season, but a Wednesday game overall. And, you know, the other thing that Ed brought up and a couple of our other previous callers, keep in mind, this Thursday schedule is going to happen throughout the entire season. The Bears and Packers play this Thursday, so everyone is on the same playing field in terms of having that quick turnaround. And you're right, the Giants are going to be really tested in this next coming week because you got Tampa Bay Sunday, and then all of a sudden you travel to Carolina Thursday. So, you know, the turnaround, the quick swing, and the preparations, and you hope everyone stays healthy because there's not going to be a lot of time to really nurse those injuries because, number one, you got to travel Wednesday to Carolina, and before you know it, you're going to see a completely different style offense and defense.
I don't want to go nuts here, but I'm going to say something that I would yell at a caller for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This weekend is a tantamount to a must-win game. With the Giants' schedule,
I'm surprised to hear that out of you.
I know it is.
You are really crossing some lines.
I know
and
I am.
Today.
I know. But think about it. With the Giants' schedule the way it is, okay? You already lost one game at home against a division rival, all right? You have another conference game against a team like the Bucs. That's a young team that's rebuilding. Rookie running back, third-year quarterback, new head coach. Probably, I would say, just based on location and team, the second easiest game in the Giants' schedule, other than the Cleveland Brown game at home. Fair?
Fair.
Can't lose this game. You got to rebound, and you got to start getting, you know, some good things going here if you're a member of the Giants. Look, is the season over if they lose? No, of course not. And that's why I'm not calling it a must win. But it's a very, very, very important game. And if the Giants lose it, considering the way the rest of their schedule looks, I think it really puts them in a hole. They can dig out of it, sure, but it's a hole that you don't want to be in.
Well, you can make the argument based on what you and Michael Eisen were talking about off the air, that we don't know the repercussions of last week's loss until late in the season. It's imperative to beat not just your division rivals, but your NFC opponents, because that's when tiebreakers come into play. You can afford to drop a game to an AFC opponent. Not that you can take a week off, but that's not necessarily going to sting you down the line as it may to an NFC opponent. I also just want to throw out, before we get back to the phone, something on Twitter.
Sure.
Andrew at Big Blue Aviator writes, he can't call in, but the Panthers didn't run the ball at all, as we pointed out, just 10 yards.
Six rushes for negative 1 yard for D'Angelo Williams in that
Tampa
game.
Has the worst run D in the league. Do we break out? Well, based on how Tampa performed against the run yesterday, they don't have the worst run D anymore.
Well, I mean, you can't say they have the worst run D in the league. They got a whole new coaching staff, a lot of new personnel over there. You can't really, with the Bucs, whenever you get a new coach in, you can take the stats from the year before and just toss them out the window. You can toss them out the window. It doesn't matter. The talents change, the coaching staff change, the strategies change. I don't care what the Bucs did last year. It's irrelevant. So can the Giants try to break out against Tampa? Sure. But I wouldn't go based on what they did last year. It just doesn't matter at this point.
And their secondary on paper is no joke. Granted, they struggled again last season, but remember, they brought in Eric Wright. In terms of free agency, Rondé Barber has now moved from corner to safety, although he did start out yesterday in the nickel package as the corner. They drafted Mark Barron, and they have Aqib Talib. So, you know, these are veteran guys mixed in with some youth. They've completely revamped the secondary. They've worked in some rookies on the line. And as you mentioned, Greg Schiano, and I know college is different from the pros, but just look at what he did to the Rutgers program. He turned a dismal Rutgers program into a winning program. He is known for having quick turnarounds in terms of what he's able to implement. So, you know, as John said, and I'm going to basically, you know, throw it out there numerous times during the course of this week, looking back at last season is nice. It's great to look at trends, but you know what? When you have a new coaching staff, when you have a lot of new personnel, there's only so much stock you can put into the fact that Tampa Bay's defense was dismal top to bottom last season. Throw it out the window. There's a new season, a lot of new players in the mix.
All right, our buddy Ashwin here, Neely's guy, has sent us a question over from BBI, BigBlueInteractive.com, in their corner forum, their message boards. Jan in D.C., so much has been made about the lack of the run game and struggles of the offensive line, but it seemed to me that the O-line struggled in pass protection as well. What do you think needs to happen to improve it? Is it a personnel issue, a scheme, or technique problem? Well, Jan, I'll say this. I think the Giants' offensive line did a pretty good job of keeping the Cowboys off of Eli Manning. Did DeMarcus Ware have a couple sacks? Sure, but he's DeMarcus Ware. You can make the argument he's the best defensive player in the NFL right now. So you can't go nuts there. And the Rob Ryan defensive system brings tons of blitzes. If you watch the Jets player, the Cowboys player, any one of the, you know, the Ravens back when Rex Ryan was their defensive coordinator, you've seen quarterbacks get hit a whole lot more against that type of pressure than Eli Manning did in the game that night. Now, in terms of talent or scheme or technique, I think it's probably a little bit of all three of those things. Like Lance said, there should be continuity. These five guys with Locklear at left tackle have played together for a few preseason games now and now a regular season game. So they should have their act together at this time. But look, the veterans, David Deal and Chris Neal, have to play better. Both of them had down years last year. They played hurt. But let's get back to your Pro Bowl caliber play here. They need that. And Locklear, I thought, was decent left tackle. He's fine. David Boss has to improve after his first year with the Giants. Booth's solid. But I think it's all three of those things put together. And look, they just got to get more push. That, to me, is it. They got to get stronger off the ball and move guys off the football. And they just can't seem to do it.
And to add to that, I think Bradshaw needs to be patient at times, stick with the scheme, stick with the strategy, as opposed to doing a little dance behind the line. Clearly, you got to give him credit. He created something out of nothing multiple times against the Cowboys.
But how many times did he lose yards by hesitating?
There you go. So they tend to balance things
out. But, of course, that hesitation is, I think, in a lot of ways, caused by the lack of blocking in front of him. Well, you don't have any confidence that the hole is going to open where it's supposed to open. Your natural instinct as a running back is going to be to hesitate and try to make something happen. So I think all those things kind of interconnected. Back to our phones, John in Florida at 201-939-4513. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. What's up?
My biggest question for you guys is, after what I saw from the Bucs yesterday, their secondary looks like a bunch of ball hawks. So I was wondering, you know, when we were playing the Cowboys, like I believe someone said a little earlier, we weren't really going too deep with the ball. I was wondering how conservative you think Eli's going to play it now that they got the rookie corner and Rondé's looking pretty good, even though he's getting old. So wondering how conservative you think we'll play on offense.
Honestly, I don't think the Giants would be conservative. That's not the nature of their game. That's not the nature of Kevin Gilbride. That's not the nature of Eli Manning. They're going to take their shots down the field. Now, here's the issue, though. You know, Victor Cruz is more of a run-after-the-catch type guy. He'll catch a 15-yard pass, he'll make some moves, run after the catch. He's not their down-the-field burner, per se. Hakeem Nicks clearly does not look 100% with that foot. So does he have the flat-out speed to beat people deep? I don't have the answer to that. So then you're down to Dominic Hickson and Reuben Randall. But those are your third and fourth guys. How many times are they even on the field, you know, make those big plays down the field? So I think there is some measure of, trust me, John, they want to go down the field and get deep. But right now, do they have the healthy bodies to do it? And maybe not as much as some people might like.
That's what I'm saying. Between that and how good it looked like the Bucs secondary played yesterday and our running game not being the best, I wonder if we're going to kind of take a little thing from how Dallas played us last week and just hit on the quick slants like they killed us with.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to get creative, as you just alluded to, John. The fact that, you know, what John Schmelk just pointed out, there's so many Johns now on the air at once.
It's a great name.
We got to basically, you know, distinguish the two. The fact that, you know, Big John, too, we may need to draw it. The receiving core is not truly healthy at this point. And, you know, I think if Hakeem Nicks was 100%,
right,
they would have full confidence in giving him the green light, sending him deep.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, that opens up things for the other receivers. But until he gets back to full force, what John just threw out, you know, you may need to get creative in the short slant game.
Or maybe
use screens.
Use Randall and Hickson a little bit more outside and try to stretch the field with them. If again, he could be. If Nicks isn't capable of doing it, play and play out.
But the other thing is, if you're throwing Randall there, you got to, you know, maybe bench somebody else.
Sure.
How often are you going to go three or four wide?
All good questions.
All of those things have to factor into the game plan. All right, John, appreciate
the
phone call. Thanks so much.
Good job by Johnny. He's Big John now, by the way, just so he.
So what are you then?
I'm just John.
But we don't need to call you Small John or anything.
Oh, like little John from
Well, Little John's
Robin
taken
Hood.
Already, though,
right.
On many levels. Well, he's
sure
a rapper, too.
Isn't oh, yeah,
right?
yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, he is. He's right.
Right?
No,
isn't there a Little John, too?
I believe
right, I'm not going to say
believe,
that I'm an aficionado, but.
I think there might be a little. We're just going to make
whatever.
Fools out of
Let's
ourselves,
not go
lads. Yeah, this is your fault. I blame you for this.
I do. I take full responsibility.
All right. Now. Last Friday,
there we go. There's a little Giants.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, there
right.
we go. Now
he's not going to help the Giants offense. Defense, by the way, in case you're wondering. Anyway,
him and Travie McCoy can have an anthem battle at halftime in the second home game. Now, name that
he
play.
He does run with Paul DeTino, though. Just so you know,
that's actually kind of funny.
Side
So here we go. I asked you on Friday the Dominic Hickson deep post. I said Lance Metal. Name that play. And what did you come up with, pal?
Speaking of embarrassing myself, boy, you're really setting me up to fail.
Hey, I gave you a weekend to figure this out. Yep. Plus, you bailed out of my birthday party on Saturday night. So you should have had extra time to try to think of this Dominic Hickson, you know, name that play.
And I do owe you an apology, even over the airwaves. I did tell you what happened off the air. And unfortunately, you know, a lack of sleep has caught up with me. And as a result,
name a
your
play
celebration
here.
Was sacrificed. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go based on the jerseys that they went up against
right.
and the insignia.
Don't explain
well,
it.
I want to explain it because
name,
know I'm setting myself up to fail
your name, yeah, you are. Because the name should be self-explanatory.
Well,
That's the point.
In case no one recalls the play, he did split two defenders
Correct.
And make a great catch.
Okay.
So I had caught between the stars.
You know, that's
wow,
that's
I thought you were going to give it
terrible.
To me.
That's actually
really?
Not terrible. That's creative.
Oh, that's
okay. Caught between the stars. It's not too bad.
Wow, I get
golf
a little.
Clap. Golf yeah. clap. Not right. a standing ovation.
It's not my best.
No, golf clap.
But there was effort in there.
Is someone cooking outside? What's
I don't
going
know.
My God. Oh, it smells good, whatever it is. All right, that's number one. Number two, we because of the Wednesday game, we got screwed up. We didn't do our picks last week. So this is a big problem. Now, last year, I took Lance out to the woodshed. I destroyed him in the pick competition. I believe it was a 2-win advantage over the course of 17 weeks. So clearly, it was just domination on my part. Yes. all right. So we're going to pick the two games tonight just for fun. Okay? So we have the
– to get us in season four.
So we
here.
Have Bengals-Ravens.
Correct.
And we have Raiders.
Chargers-Raiders.
Chargers. So a lot of AFC Central, AFC West fun. So you can go first. Why don't you go Bengals and Ravens?
I'm going to go with the Ravens here.
Okay.
Number one, Andy Dalton is hurting.
Way to go out on a limb there.
Well, I mean, listen, I got to get an early edge on you.
I'm picking the Ravens, too.
Well, that's and I have a feeling you're going to pick the same team. See, this is not going to spice anything up.
I don't know. That later Monday night game might be interesting.
All right, but let you know, as opposed to just throwing out the pick, let's give some analysis
of course,
or thought behind it.
Of course we
it.
Are.
So as I was saying before I was interrupted by you bragging about last season's victory. Andy Dalton is still nursing an injury, so I think that could very well play a role. And there's question marks in terms of the Bengals' running game. You know, Cedric Benson's not in the picture. They got Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. He's hurting as well. This is just a banged-up, beat-up Cincinnati team.
What's wrong with Dalton again?
Dalton had the hand injury.
That's right. He'll be fine. He's going to play.
But you know what? If you're Baltimore, which has an aggressive defense, they are missing Terrell Suggs. I mean, that's going to hurt them early on. I just think that Baltimore at this point is in better shape, and they've got more firepower that they should win this game.
Yeah, I think Dalton's going to have, maybe not to the same extent, but I think the Bengals are going to have a little bit of a down year this year. I think a little bit of a sophomore slump for Dalton and Green. That's just my feeling, but we'll see. I agree. I think the Ravens will probably win this game, and I think the Bengal defense is going to take a step back this year. That's where they're going to kind of take their real hit. Their defense played extremely well last year. I think it'll take a little bit of a step back. Nothing terrible, but 9-7 last year, Cincinnati. I think maybe they'll be like 7-9 this season, something like that. That's just my feeling. Now, the late game, the Chargers, who are going to travel to Oakland to take on the Raiders. Do you want me to lead off here?
Yes, why don't
All right, well, who likes to start season slowly? San Diego Chargers. So the Raiders are hosting this game, and we're going to go with the Oakland Raiders with their, you know, they got their new regime. You have the new Davis running the show. It's a new day in Oakland. Carson Palmer struggled a bit in the preseason. That's okay. Darren McFadden's actually healthy, so I'll take advantage of that. You know, it's not going to last very long.
The key word, actually,
yeah.
There.
So it's not going to last long. So I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders here since McFadden's healthy. Open the season at home. Chargers traditionally struggle. And I think they're going to be better this year than a lot of people think. But the Chargers traditionally struggle earlier in the year. So I'm going Oakland Raiders to beat the San Diego Chargers.
I think this is the season and to spice things up a bit and just to maybe, you know, mix up the standings. I'm going to go San Diego here.
Okay.
I'm not high at all on Oakland.
Neither am I.
I have no faith in this Raiders.
I think, you know, 6-7-1 team. That's
yeah,
my feeling.
I mean, that may be even stretching it. Number one, Darren McFadden's never played full 16 games.
Well, he always played one game for them to win this game.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Carson Palmer has
four quarters.
Really struggled in the preseason.
Yep.
And the other question I have is, who's he throwing the football to?
Darius Heyward-Bey was number one wide receiver. Denarius Moore.
Jacoby Ford's another guy who has failed to stay healthy.
Who's their tight end now in Oakland? Zach Miller is in Seattle now. That's why they cut Kellen Winslow.
And Kevin Boss is not there anymore. He's now with Kansas City.
Who's their tight end? I should know this.
Just goes to show you nobody's been drafting the Raiders tight end in fantasy. You know what? Now I'm drawing blanks too here. But I don't think we cannot go off the air until I find out who this Oakland tight end is.
All right. While you're searching, I'm going to go back to Twitter here. I've been trying to respond to some tweets as the game goes going on here.
Yeah, boy.
As the show goes on, excuse me.
I got three tight ends here. Good luck knowing all three of them. Boy, it's a good thing the Raiders don't play the Giants this season, because if we had to break down the Oakland tight end formation, we'd be in trouble. We've got a trifecta here, and this is the creme de la creme of the NFL. David Osbury, Richard Gordon, and Brandon Myers. That about sums it up.
That about sums it up.
Well, and that gets back to my point.
It does.
As to who Carson Palmer is going to rely on. You know, Darren McFadden is key in the passing game as well. But, you know, if he can't stay healthy, that basically takes a huge focal point out of their offense. And that's what I think it hurt them. Defense, you know, they were middle of the pack last season. They didn't necessarily add or lose anybody of tremendous note. At the end of the day, I just think Phillip Rivers is looking for a bounce-back season. Remember, he had a really rough go last year in terms of his interceptions. Gates is now fully healthy for the first time.
Now, I think Antonio Gates is going to have a monster year. I really do. I think he's going to have a huge comeback season. We're talking 85 catches, 13 touchdowns, maybe 1,000 yards.
The problem with San Diego is there a receiver that will take the attention away from
Meacham?
That's
the
problem.
Do you buy Meacham? Is he a guy you think can really be a number one or a number two?
Brown's hurt. Yeah. He's on IR right now.
You don't know.
Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd, those guys took attention on the sidelines, and Gates had the middle of the field. I'm not so sure if San Diego has that answer right now in week one.
Fair enough. Lancelot, I think that's all the time we have here. We appreciate it.
No last-minute tweets?
Nah, nothing. Nothing.
Rocking your boat? No Ramsey's Barden, Martellus Bennett references?
I got
Devin's cooled down a bit?
No, Devin's jumped to other things, but, you know.
All right.
You got final scores here? Is it done, though, or not? Do we have fantasy updates finished? All right. Let me look at it. Let me look at it here. Hold on. We're not going to have any announcements, though. I take a peek here. Let me see how pathetic I did here. All right, 66 total points. That's actually not bad. Lance is 64 points with one player to go.
That's right.
And that one player being Antonio Gates. So you will probably leap ahead of a bunch of folks with that 64.
Well, who's in the lead right now? Who's overall lead?
Looks like the great Anita Marks at 92.
You've got to be kidding me.
With Melroy at 82. I come in at 66. Lance at 64 with one player to go. 57 for Papa. 54 for our man Dan Salamone. And let's see what else we got here. We got the mighty Obin. He wants to be the Roman soldiers, by the way. He emailed me that, so we got to get that switched for him.
I like that,
He's at 53. And Howard Cross comes in at a very solid 78. So I was in the middle of the pack. Lance is a little, you know, in the middle of the pack as well, depending on how Gates does here. So... I would say a disappointing week one.
You said she leads the pack with how many? 82?
92. She had a great week. Well, she had Robert. Who did you need to have this week? Robert Griffin III gave her 24. Oh, she had Kevin Smith. She fell, you know what, backwards into that.
I had Kevin Smith too, didn't I?
Yeah, well, so did you.
Yeah. Apparently. He didn't
Percy
have
Harvin. Yeah, you know what? She made some good selections. Doug Martin for $10 gave her 11. You know, I had Doug Martin too, and I crossed him out. I decided to go with Trent Richardson and Fred Jackson instead. That did not work out too well for me. Anyway, so there's your fantasy competition. You can check out Salomon puts that blog up every week. You can check it out. We got Poppin' Banks to do it, Roman Obin, Jeff Feagles. They all come in. We're going to pick teams every week. We'll tally the points over the course of the season, have some fun, talk some trash, and we'll have a good time right here on Giants.com. Lance, any final thoughts here before you come back tomorrow and do a show with who knows who?
With me, myself, and I?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what we were
alluding
to?
Well, I mean, that really is your fantasy, that you don't have to share the mic with anybody. You can just talk the whole
time
yourself.
That's true. Oh, it's going to be a ball of fun. That's what I'll tease. Tomorrow's show, 9:30 to 10:30. Tune in.
All Meadow, all the time.
Absolutely. I can't add anything to that. We'll leave it at that.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Lance will be with you tomorrow morning at 9:30 on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It comes your way every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. It's brought to you by Andrew Mark on Giants.com and, of course, on your Giants mobile app as well. Thanks for joining us for Lance Meadow. For Dave Melroy, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com.
Have a good one.